Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for InnovativeWellness.Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. InnovativeWellness.Center. At 515-355-3200.
Welcome to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman. Not sure where Mike McDowell is, but I'm sure he'll come on in the next segment. Today, we have a special guest we're going to introduce in just a minute here. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a sports trivia question. Today, it's just miscellaneous sports trivia. I know, Russell, you love those basketball questions, but this time we're just going to be kind of miscellaneous. In the next segment, we're going to introduce a friend of the show. Natu Tuatagaloa, who is a former defensive end for the Bengals, Seahawks, and Oilers in the mid-1990s, would you say, Natu?
That's about right.
That's about right. Okay, good. And it's funny because I met Natu at the YMCA playing basketball, and that was actually right. It must have been in between, right after the season ended.
Yeah, it was pretty much the off-season. I'd be down there playing basketball and training and, you know, hanging out with the boys and having a good time. My parents were one of the original members there in 1986, so we took full advantage of all the amenities at the YMCA here in Marin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it's so funny. I'll tell a very, very quick story. One time I was playing against Natu's team. You know, it's like pickup games, and I got fouled, but I wasn't really sure if I got fouled, and someone asked me if I got fouled, and I said, yeah, I think I got fouled. And Natu, being the competitive football player that he is, says, what? Are you kidding? He goes, all right, I'm guarding this guy. And so I got the ball, and you know, Natu's about 1.5 times my size, and I remember holding the ball and saying, no, Natu, I am honored that you would guard me. And then suddenly we cracked up, and it was all fun and games. All right. And it looks like Mike McDowell is joining us, and we want to just give our little outro right here. First of all, let's just go ahead and do this. All right. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
In the ever-evolving realm of real estate, where uncovering exceptional deals presents a challenge, a tailored solution awaits. Picture yourself receiving exclusive off-market real estate deals directly to your inbox each month, an opportunity for any astute investor. Embark on this journey at mortgageinvesting.com and delve into the potential waiting for you with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments' exclusive trade desk. This platform unveils a spectrum of opportunities, providing entry to off-market mortgage notes, including performing loans, non-performing loans, and REOs. What adds to the excitement? This carefully curated selection of deals is refreshed every single month. Ready to enhance your real estate strategy? Take definitive action now. Visit mortgageinvesting.com, enlist in the trade desk, and unveil an assortment of exclusive off-market deals with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments. Seize this opportunity. Navigate to mortgageinvesting.com today and redefine your real estate journey with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments, where exclusive possibilities converge with your investment ambitions. Act promptly and join now.
Attention business owners. How can you attract 22,000 new customers? How can you generate 10% in new sales? By accepting iTex dollars for sales in the cashless marketplace, your business can access an exclusive cashless distribution channel, attract new customers, and generate new sales. Barbara Hill says,
iTex has been one of the best things I've ever done for my business. It brings me business I would never reach with any other marketing.
It's simply the best cashless marketplace around. iTex will change the way you look at money. Members increase. Increase sales, conserve cash, and utilize a new distribution channel by using iTex dollars to transact business. iTex is the leading marketplace for cashless business transactions across North America. Our members processed more than $300 million in transactions last year. The fact is, iTex dollars work. Isn't it time they started working for you? To register, visit ITEX.com. Promo code 408-408 or call 408-504-8400. For more information.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcovein.com for reservations. That's elkcovein.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, and our special guest, Natu Tuatagaloa. Which, by the way, Natu, I looked it up just for fun, and I didn't realize that you actually had two names. Natu, I thought was actually your real name, but that's kind of a nickname, isn't it?
Well, it's my middle name. Yeah, so I was named after my dad's eldest brother, Natutasina. So Natu is short for Natutasina. And my first name is actually from my mom's dad from Holland. His name was Gerardus Mauritius. So Gerardus Mauritius Natutasina Tuatagaloa.
Is it okay if we just call you Natu?
Yeah, that's how they do it. I can't remember. That's how we always done. It's pretty funny. I can remember back in the day, we were playing a little league, I think 13-year-old All-Stars up in Sacramento. And the they've got announcers for all the games. And the guy got to my name and he said, batting seventh, Natu at the plate.
You know, it's funny. Your last name's actually easier to pronounce than Tua. Tagovailoa. That's just one of those things. And actually, your background is from Samoa, right?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So my name really kind of describes where I come from. My grandfather is from Holland. My mom's from Holland. So Gerardus Mauritius, that's half of me. And the other half is Natutasina Tuatagaloa, which is Samoan. And my dad's from Samoa. So you can imagine two people that come from two opposite ends of the earth come together. And I'm the product of that that marriage and family, and been a pretty good run so far. So I'm pretty happy with it. It afforded me a lot of fundamentals from the beginning, which were the Dutch perseverance, right, and the Samoan aggressiveness and knowing how to have fun and obviously when to have fun. So
yeah. And the stature of it too. And it's funny. I still, believe it or not, in fact, that you can't quite see it there, but I still have the San Rafael sweatshirt that you sponsored the girls softball team. Our girls played softball together, and that was, that's well over 10 years ago, and that's still my favorite sweatshirt.
Yeah, they're fun times. Anytime you get the opportunity to coach your kids, it's pretty fun. So I think we had a really good time with the girls back then playing softball. Yeah. They start pretty young, and then after a while, they figure out what sports they want to play. So we were in softball, volleyball, soccer. Most of them ended up in volleyball.
I think the most fun was, or the craziest part, was us coaches were more nervous than the girls. You know, it's like the bottom of the seventh inning and it's bases loaded and, you know, and all this. And our coaches are just, we're biting our fingernails and the girls are just, la, 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 la. You know, I mean, they're having fun and they're competitive, but they just, it's like, don't you realize how much pressure this is? You know?
Yeah. No, I think we did a good job of teaching them the fundamentals. And that was always the key, right? The fundamentals of everything. So get them ready for the next level. Yes.
Does Centerfield still have a high school?
Yeah. Oh my God! Have you seen it? It's like a new.
Hey, man, I'm just giving you a bad time. You're talking to two terrible the Trojans here, so I mean, not that it matters. Go Bulldogs! I don't care.
Well, you know, Terlinda has the most state of the art gymnasium in all of Marin County, maybe on all of Northern California. So that was just completed last year. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
I drove by it and I didn't notice the gym as much as just how much they've added to it. And then San Rafael, I mean, like you said, it looks like a college. They did a really good job.
It's been quite the run in San Rafael. As you know, I was on the school board for 20 years and I'm very proud of the fact that we were able to put together a master plan and do, you know, now we're into the third modernization phase of revamping the schools. And of course, it's all kind of a byproduct of Prop 13, which, as a California homeowner, you're enjoying the low property taxes. But at the same time, when that happened, it kind of cut the funding for education. So a lot of those schools have been run down over many, many years. And now we've had to pass bonds, you know, the local bonds, local property taxes help fund all those projects. And they've gone really, really well. I think the best part is that the community gets to enjoy some great facilities for the long haul. The students and families get to enjoy a really safe, secure, and 21st century educational experience. And the bottom line is, if we don't improve our schools, you know, property values drop. So I think we've done a really good job from a fiduciary standpoint in spending the money. And the projects have been very, very well thought out and a very inclusive process with the community. And as you know, if you go to any of these school sites, you'll see the rooms, the classrooms, the multipurpose areas, the stadium. They're all being used for different events and things, and they're being enjoyed by not just the students and staff, but by the local community as well. So all in all, I give it an A+.
Yeah, it's great. You're one of those football players who's given back to the community over time.
You kind of have to, right? I mean, think about it, Ed. Yeah. I was lucky enough to grow up in San Rafael. I had great teachers and coaches. I had two parents that really cared about the outcomes for their kids. They said education always came first. You had to take care of the school. You had to get the good grades. Otherwise, you couldn't play. And for me, as a kid growing up here, I would have cut my left arm off to play, and I'd cut my right arm off to be early to play. So, you know, it was like, get your good grades, get your studies, and then you get to play. And so I was given a great opportunity here in San Rafael with great teachers, great coaches, great family support. And so, you know, when I came back to San Rafael to raise a family, I thought, you know what, I got to get involved. I got to be part of the solution. Got to show the way, you know, give kids kind of an eye that, hey, it's possible to live your dream and go play at the next level. And more importantly, get the education, of course, first, and then go to college or whatever you want to do, whether it's a trade school or something else. And, you know, just try to be as successful as you can on a daily basis. And that's really what it comes down to. So, you know,
when you went to Cal, which obviously is not an easy school to even get into, what did you study?
So that's a great story. So my first inclination was to be an electrical engineer because my mom was like, you need to be an engineer, right? And so at the time, if you knew back in the 80s, Cal was the number one school for electrical engineering and computer science. Hmm. And even though I was a football player coming in, they did not allow me to go into that major. So I took the next best thing. I went into civil engineering, which was also the number one school in the country. So I started in civil engineering, which was, you know, heavy in math and science and the other classes. And after the first year, I found myself in trouble academically. I mean, it was very, very hard to compete with students that were studying all day long and all night long. Yeah. And then, you know, I had a full-time job playing football. And at the same time, I had to study and, you know, make it to class and all these other things. So I actually transferred out of the engineering program to the chagrin of my mom, but you know, that's just the way it goes. Cause for me, it was a little too much to do both, but I went to sociology for a month and, you know, I tried it out. I didn't really quite like it, ended up in history and graduated with a history degree. So I had a really good time in history and it really afforded me the opportunity to both enjoy Cal from an academic standpoint, but also have the time to, you know, hone my craft on the football field and get better and better every year. And of course, it was a 5-year process, right? I mean, I started off as a freshman, I redshirted. I then played a little bit as a freshman. I started as a sophomore in the Pac-10, which was unheard of at the time at 230 pounds. I mean, I remember one time we were playing Missouri and Big John Clay, if you remember him, he was like 380 pounds. He hit me so hard on a draw play that my helmet spun around on my head. I think I rolled out of bounds. I was that far out. I got up and I was looking out the ear hole of the helmet. So it was
pretty great. So, yeah. Well, we're going to go to a break here in just a minute, but I had another friend who actually played at Cal and then he went into pro football. And I asked him, like, well, you know, what was your day like? He says, you know, you get up in the morning, you have practice, you go to school, you have practice, you study, you go back to bed. I mean, it was just a routine of that all the time. I don't remember what his major was, but he played during the 82 season with the play, you know, the famous Stanford band one on that. Okay. We're going to go to our first commercial break here. The theme is just miscellaneous trivia. And again, just as a reminder, Natu, if you know the answer, don't say anything until we get back right back from break. This is a baseball question. Which player is the only one to hit 2 grand slams in one inning? All right. Email Edward at sportsecom101.com. The answer to that question. We'll see who the first caller or the first email is with the correct answer to that. Which baseball player is the only one to hit 2 grand slams in one inning? All right. And I'll tell you, Russell, it's not one of those questions from the 1820s. All right. All right. Here we go. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We are going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. That's 800-811-7913.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
1 out of 2 Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowell, and our special guest, Natu Tua Tagovailoa. All right, first trivia question. Which player is the only baseball player to hit two grand slams in one inning? Anyone?
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds, no.
Kevin Mitchell.
Kevin Mitchell, no. What is all these Giants players? It wasn't a Giant.
Reggie Jackson.
Wait, who's that, Natu?
Babe Ruth?
No, Fernando Tatis.
Oh.
Ooh. Fernando Tatis. Yeah, he had two grand slams in one inning. You got to thank all the guys who got on base before him, you know?
Gosh, I didn't know it would be that recent in baseball history.
Yeah.
You know, Edward, you said thank the guys that got on before him. I think I thanked the other pitcher myself.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. I like that. Okay. So, Natu, what was it like playing for three different teams, the Bengals, the Seahawks, and the Oilers? And then what was it like, you know, when you find out you got traded?
Yeah, so it's an interesting dynamic there when you think about it, playing for multiple teams and multiple fan bases, different cities, different regions of the country. And the whole process is just it's really a bit crazy. But when you're going through it, you really don't think about any of that. All you think about is, I really want to do this, and this is my dream, right? I want to, whatever it takes to get there, I'm going to do it. So having a successful career at Cal really helped kind of elevate my stock, I would say. I was able to play in the Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl, which then again, when you're playing with guys that you watch on TV and TV from other regions of the country, and you're able to compete with them, it really kind of gives you the confidence to do the things that you think you can do on the field. So then, you know, you're sitting at home waiting for the draft, and you're kind of, where am I in the mix? And I'm watching the draft, and I'm seeing guys that I played with, both, you know, Shrine Game, Senior Bowl, who are getting drafted at the same, you know, at that like second round. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm definitely as good as this guy. I should be going here pretty quick. And, you know, round two goes, and then round three goes, and then round four goes. And I've got a guy who is a scout / representative of the Dallas Cowboys sitting in my living room with my parents waiting to sign me as a free agent if I don't get drafted. And so, you know, I felt like at some point something's going to happen. But then in the fifth round, you know, and at that point, again, they're not filming this. This isn't on TV. This is just, you know, they're just going through the process. So I get a phone call from the Cincinnati Bengals, and I was picked 158th. I think it was the last pick of the fifth round, or the second to last pick of the fifth round, you know, just before the Niners. They had just come off the Super Bowl. Right? So they had that last, second to last pick. So I got drafted by the Bengals. And, of course, it's a dream come true to get drafted. I remember, you know, you see on TV these days, the big parties and all the people and hoorah for the drafts. And, you know, my mom, my dad, my sister and I went to Pier 15 to go had some dinner that night to celebrate. So it was a pretty small, small thing. But anyway, it was great. You know, and then the next step's always going to, I think it's mini camp in April. And then you get to see the guys that you're playing against. And here I walk in, I'm looking at Boomer Esiason. I'm looking at Tim Krumrie, who broke his leg. He's got 22.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a 22-inch rod in his leg with pins going up and down. I'm standing next to Anthony Munoz, who is a, you know, 12-time Pro Bowl player, one of the best, if not the best, offensive tackles. And I remember seeing him back in 1983 when I was just in high school at a football camp where I couldn't afford to go to the camp. I was just walking around looking, and he was one of the coaches there. So it was a really amazing and surreal experience. And then you just got to strap it on, right? You got to pull your boots up, and you got to get going, and you got to do your thing. And, you know, that was always part of my routine, was being a really hard worker. And, you know,
well, let me ask you, in camp, because he was offensive lineman, you're a defensive end. Did you get to line up against him?
Every day. That's probably what made me better, right?
Yeah.
And going against him every day made me a better player, for sure. And, of course, in training camp, you know, you only get so many reps, and the rookies show up early. And that first season, I was the only rookie to make the defensive squad. And part of that was because in the first 4 days of training camp, when it's just rookies and then some veterans, after 2 days, I was the only guy standing. Everyone else was hurt. So I was taking every single rep across the board. And then when the veterans come in, you know, as a rookie, you don't get very many reps. You get like 5 reps in every drill. So you really have to show up and do your thing. And then I showed up pretty well in those drills. I showed up really well in the special teams because I wasn't afraid to run down and, you know, get knocked off my cleats by somebody in the kickoff or kickoff return. And it was fun. You know, like I said, it was a really, really fun experience for me, living the dream. And then playing in a town like Cincinnati, wow. I mean, what a great town. The people there, I mean, they just love their football. You know, a lot of tradition there. We had some great players. You know, we had the Icky Shuffle back then. James Brooks, you know, running behind Icky. We had some really good players playing for us. Boomer Esiason, of course, who's been a longtime pro football analyst and just done a great job with cystic fibrosis and those kind of things. So it was good. And then, you know, I think what happened there was I played there 3 years, and then I got caught up in what was called the Plan B free agency lawsuit, where teams were trying to control players' contracts without letting them go as a free agent. And because of that, that case was won by the Players Association, so that automatically set me free from the Bengals' rights. And I signed, I think, maybe week one or two with the Seattle Seahawks. They had just released Keith Millard. I don't know if you remember Keith Millard, great player.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota Vikings, played at Washington State. That guy's a total stud. He still is here in the Bay Area. He coaches in the East Bay. Great guy. So he left the team, so they signed me. And luckily for me, I was able to jump in right away and start playing in our first game against, I think it was the New England Patriots. You know, I got a nice sack against Drew Bledsoe. So it was a great way to start that career.
Monday Night Football? Because it's funny, the one time that I actually got to see you on TV, you did a sack like almost on the offensive 3-yard line or something, and I still remember this. You know, you just kind of jumping up. I was, but I don't remember who you were playing. Maybe that was it. But
You know, it could have been. There's a lot of different situations where that happened. Unfortunately, I didn't get that many sacks, but the one that you saw was probably on one of those major football games, like. Either the Bengals versus the Niners, where I sacked Joe Montana, which was awesome, or was, you know, Monday Night Football against the Denver Broncos in Seattle, where I sacked John Elway. It could have been on Christmas Day, where I sacked Tommy Kramer in Minnesota. I mean, I picked my times, right? When I was going to show up, it was when it was on national TV and everybody could see me, right? I felt like the whole world was watching. All those moms that love Joe Montana, you know, as soon as I sacked him, none of them were cooking me lasagna after that.
Yeah.
You know?
So, let's see. Okay.
And that too, did you ever want to become a 49er? I'm assuming you grew up as a Niner fan.
Yeah, well, you know, as a Bay Area boy growing up, I loved the Raiders and I loved the 49ers. And of course, I was able to see kind of the heyday of the Raiders in the 70s there with Stabler and Casper and the boys. And then, of course, you know, they moved to LA when I was in high school. So then it was kind of like the Niners were my team, and my dad also liked both Raiders and the Niners. And one of my best friends, my best man, Todd Farber, his dad worked for CBS in the sales department in San Francisco, so he was able to take us to 49er games. So really, I got a really good look at what pro football is all about from the spectator standpoint and being a fan. And of course, watching that dynasty grow and become the great team that it was in the 80s there with the Niners and Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and Roger Craig and all the great guys playing there. I mean, we were pretty fortunate here in the Bay Area. We had some really good teams. And it just, again, for me, it just helped add to that dream of mine to play. And then to get to play against some of those folks, even better, right? I mean, to sack Joe Montana, I mean, come on, you can't write that any better. That's pretty funny. So, but yeah, from the Bengals, I went to the Seahawks on that Plan B free agency deal, played there a couple of years. Tom Flores was the coach, if you remember back then.
Yeah.
He got a little bit there. We had my second year there, Rick Meyer was the. Was the rookie out of Notre Dame, was the starting quarterback. We had some great defensive players. You know, Dave Wyman from Stanford was there, Eugene Robinson, the safety, Rufus Porter. The D-line, when I got there, that D-line was so good. You had Joe Nash, right? Jeff Bryant was there. I mean, you had some great, great defensive ends there playing. So I was pretty lucky, very lucky to play at that place. And then, of course, you know, nothing lasts forever. And so, my contract was up, and I was looking for another contract. It didn't really work out in Seattle, so I went to the New Orleans Saints for a bit. down there. I was down there for mini camp, and the day that they made the final cuts, you know, at 12 noon, I was on the team, and 2:30, I was off the team. They had made a trade, and they, instead of keeping a veteran, they ended up keeping a rookie. So, and of course, with the salary cap, et cetera, it was one of those things where they get two guys for the price of one. So I kind of got priced out a little bit there for a minute. But I did end up signing with the Houston Oilers. Ray Childress got hurt, so I was able to come in and play on that team with Jeff Fisher. He was the head coach there. Great coach, you know, a real player's coach. McNair was a rookie, didn't play much that year, but Jeff Chandler was there, who was obviously a great, great quarterback. A lot of great guys that I played with. And I think that's, most guys will tell you what they miss about it is the locker room, the camaraderie, playing and such. The wins and losses, yeah, of course. If you win the Super Bowl, it matters. But other than that, it's really about just being with the guys and working hard every day, which, you know, goes back to routine, right? It really starts with that routine of making sure you get up early, right? Do the work, you know, get better, have fun. And it starts in school, college, goes into the pros. And then guess what? When you go to work, what do? You show up early, you work hard, you get better.
That's right, exactly.
It's about making money.
Stay with us for a second here. Okay, here's our second trivia question. This one also happens to be a baseball question. Of the original, of the eight original baseball teams in the American League, which team has never used a name that was previously used by an NL team? So basically, this team has always been, I guess is a good way to put it. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Are you aware of the 30% federal tax credit available now when you purchase a Tesla Powerwall in California? Act now, and you'll not only receive a 30% federal tax credit on your Tesla Powerwall, you'll also reduce your electric bill. Want a free estimate? Want to claim a $100 off voucher for your Tesla Powerwall installation? It's easy. Just call Tesla Powerwall Certified Installer, Integrity Electric, and mention the name of our friend, Edward Brown. Call Integrity Electric at 415-499-8844. Once again, 415-499-8844. Since 1993, award-winning Marin County-based Integrity Electric has been recognized as a leader and trusted expert in their field. Our web address, integrityelectric.net. That's integrityelectric.net. Integrity Electric.
Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael is open for both takeout and delivery. So if you want pizza the way it ought to be, call us at 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order online. You can either pick up your fabulous pizza or we can deliver it to you. Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily. So call 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order your pizza.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
celebrate with us. Enjoy exceptional Broadway performers and world-class wine under the starlit Sonoma sky. From theater favorites to the treasured American songbook and today's popular hits, Transcendence Theater Company presents Broadway in Sonoma in the magical field of dreams, steps from Sonoma Plaza, this June through September. Get your tickets today at bestnightever.org.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowd, and our favorite Sanderfell football player, Natty Tua Tagovailoa. Okay, here's our second trivia question. Of the eight original baseball teams in the American League, which team has never used a name that was previously used by an NL team? I don't know why it's asked this way, but basically this team basically is like, it's always been. So it's not like the, you know, the Louisville Colonels or that sort of thing. Go ahead.
Is it still in existence?
Yes.
Yankees. Oh.
No, Yankees? No, they used to be the New York Islanders.
Oh, and I was going to say the Indians, but how about the Detroit Tigers?
Yes, the Detroit Tigers. Yeah, because the Cleveland used to be the Cleveland Naps and Cleveland Spiders with Cy Young and all that kind of fun stuff. Okay. Russell, you want to ask Nat any questions?
Before I get a question from Russell, before I do that, I just want to go back. On the Seattle Seahawks team, I almost forgot, our best D-liner, Cortez Kennedy, Hall of Famer. I mean, that guy was unbelievable. For a big man with light feet, I mean, he made it look easy out there. He was awesome to play with. But yeah, it was cool. Yeah, it was cool. Go ahead, Russ.
People are always trying to say that living in the Bay Area is too difficult, and you lived in so many other cities. What made you decide to return to Marin County and be part of the city here instead of going to where there's no taxes or you know, a place where land is much cheaper and so forth?
Well, that's a great question. I will say that, you know, home is where the heart is, and my family was here in the Bay Area. So that's really why I came out to the Bay Area. I did have some financial advice from a very successful financial person who said, you should stay in the town that you're playing in. You should go work for a bank or something and, you know, make a life there. And a lot of guys did, you know, a lot of guys who came from the South and other places stayed in the communities where they had their first contract and played and started a family and bought a house and raised their kids. But for me, I felt like, you know, being back in Marin County and San Rafael was really important. Both my folks were still here, both, you know, working and trying to make a go every day. And I wanted to raise my family here as well. I felt like, you know, I've been all around the country playing football. I've seen a lot of places. And to me, Marin County was the best place to live. And fortunately for me, you know, when you play in the NFL, you make some good money in the beginning. So getting a good jump start on life and being able to buy a home and leverage that here in Marin County, of course, over time into more than one piece of real estate was a really good goal of mine. And we were able to do that. So being very successful and fortunate in that manner. But that's really what it comes down to is that, you know, I had been around and I wanted to be close to family and I wanted my mom and dad to be, you know, involved in my grandkids or my kids and their grandkids.
Well, you had it, you know, you're very smart. You have a good business head on your shoulders. So, you know, a lot of these guys, they make a lot of money, but then they don't save it. They don't invest it. They go broke. So you were very smart.
The transition from professional sports into day-to-day life can be super difficult. I mean, people think that you're a gazillionaire when you make it in the NFL or NBA or something. In some cases, you might be, right? Jared Goff just signed a huge contract, and we're so happy for him, his family. Yeah. You know, his dad and I grew up together, played at Cal together, and his mom and my wife are good friends and family friends. So it's really great for the family when someone, you know, does something that they're so passionate about and then is rewarded for that. So we're super happy for that. And of course, you know, economics change over time. So back in the day, you know, people think, oh, you got all this money. But the truth is it's not a lot of money, really. It's just a starting point. And the transition from being, you know, a superstar or a great athlete or making a ton of money into day-to-day life can be super difficult, right? Especially if there's not a lot of guidance. Now, I'll say that the NFL and the NFLPA have done a great job over the last 10 years to get people to really buy into a transition program. But it's hard. I mean, you make a lot of money, you get married, you get divorced, you know, the divorce rate in the NFL is 80%. There goes half. The tax man takes half. And now you're, you know, you're sitting there. What do I do next? Then you're not playing. You're not quite sure how to handle it. Maybe you suffered some head injuries and you can't focus and it's hard to get a job. Yeah. Maybe you didn't finish your degree. You know, there's all kinds of reasons why things can go south. But the truth is just with a little bit of support and a little bit of help, if you just return back to those fundamentals that we talked about waking up early, working hard, getting better, and having fun, which is success, which means making more money, you can provide yourself a good lifestyle and a good life over time. It doesn't happen right away, right? I mean, when you go from college to the pros, you get a windfall of money. You know, you make more money in one signing than your parents ever made their entire lives. But in the business transition, it doesn't happen like that, right? It's like it takes a long time. And, you know, when I started out working, it was, you know, I didn't really care about the money so much. I just cared about being on another team. So I traded one team of football players for another team of what we called back then the Vietnam of telecom, because telecommunications was booming and going so fast that there wasn't enough people. And it was a lot of fun. And it was a bunch of ex-athletes. And it was just another team. So trading one team for another for me was a great way to kind of enter the business world. And didn't really matter about the money. I mean, I think I was getting paid $17 an hour or something when I first started. And I didn't care. All I cared about was learning. And so again, I got there at 5 a.m. I didn't leave till 8 p.m. I learned everything I could learn. And that's really how it starts, right? With that routine of just digging in and getting better at it. And over time, you know, you start to figure it out. You start to see kind of the writing on the wall. What is this business really about? What are the opportunities that you can take advantage of? And so that was in, I think, late 96. And by 2005, my partners and I started our own company. And we're currently, you know, BEI Construction is in the renewable energy sector as well as the technology infrastructure sector. And we've grown that company organically. My partners are both Marin guys, both went to Marin Catholic, Gary Collini and Dominic DeMari. And people know Dominic DeMari. He's the head coach of San Marin, who's coming off of a state title a couple years ago. Just a great coach and great guys that I was able to partner with over time. And we just, you know, we've had a great run. And again, very fortunate, I would say, of course, with the market, especially in the renewable energy side. But all those things hold true in terms of fundamentals, right? So that's never going to change.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You're mentioning about, like, you know, making money, but then, you know, you have stuff like divorces. I mean, what about it? Like Adrian Peterson, I think he's got like 11 children with 10 different women. I mean, that'll make you go broke really fast.
Well, you know, NFL players and, you know, athletes sometimes don't always make the best choices, right? And that happens. And sometimes that comes from maybe their early days of not having much. It's hard to go from having nothing to having something. And a lot of something. And people do take advantage of that as well. But again, it comes down to choices. And for me, I would just say I'm very fortunate to have, you know, great parents that kind of showed me the way about what work ethic and, you know, and what being family is and what it means and how to take care of family. So I'm definitely one of those family first guys. I think that's really important. You know, again, there's a community too. And being plugged into my community, being on the school board for such a long time, being on the foundation, Marin Athletic Foundation for a long time, being in the Rotary, always trying to do things to give back to the local community, I think is important. Service above self, it's important. I think more people need to think about things like that. And when I hear kids or people talk about they don't have a direction or they don't have a focus or not quite sure what to do, I always tell them the same thing. Look, go help someone, right? Yeah. No matter what it is, go step out of your comfort zone, go help someone, and that'll start the ball for you to do something good. Right. Giving to others is always a great way to start.
Awesome. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Matt, too. I met you when you were in high school, when you were in college, followed your career and actually your life out of football. But by the way, good knowledge. Pier 15 owned by another famous guy in the sports world. You know who that guy is? I know you know who he is. He used to coach the Golden State Warriors, George Lee.
Oh, I didn't know that.
His daughter, Lori Lee, went to San Francisco High School. Anyways, but you're so well-spoken. When are you going to run for governor?
that would be awesome.
Not today. Not today, but yeah. It's an interesting – politics is an interesting thing, right?
I'd be terrible at it.
But you're so well-spoken, A. B. Okay, listen, I got to talk to you about the Cal experience. So many things. You played for Joe Capp. You played for Bruce Snyder. What were those guys like to play for? Joe just passed away, Coach Cap. And then also, we got to get your take. What in the wide world of sports is going on with the Golden Bears going to the ACC? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's a total shock. Well, I'll just start with Joe Cap. He gave me the opportunity to play at Cal. He was one of his signature lines was, you know, we're going to recruit locally in our backyard. And luckily for me, we're only, you know, 25 minutes away. And he came over and he watched me in a basketball game. And he had the other coaches, Bill Lavaroni, Denny Shuler, and Rod Marinelli. You guys know Rod Marinelli, right? Just an incredible, one of the best defensive line coaches in the world. They saw me play and they recruited me and they really taught me a lot. I mean, Joe Cap is a great, great motivator. He's a never say die kind of guy. And he really, I mean, the Bear will not quit, the Bear will not die. It starts with him. He's a tough Chicano, right? That was his landmarks. And he just a great individual. I went to his service at Memorial Stadium, which was an incredible sight to see. And they put on a great video. He did a lot of things, not only prior to football, but then during his football career. I mean, you guys know this. He's the only quarterback to ever play in the Rose Bowl, the Grey Cup, and the Super Bowl. And to lose all three, right? And
he's just, I know. I was a big Minnesota Vikings fan, and I loved watching him play. Yeah. He just couldn't quite do it.
Right. So for me, you know, he's the catalyst that kind of got me started in the Cal Bear family. And then, of course, my coach Rod Marinelli there was fantastic. Bruce Schneider, luckily for me, Bruce Schneider had coached with Rod Marinelli at Utah State, so they kept each other together in the transition. And Bruce Schneider was a very, very good coach. While as good a motivator as Joe Cap was, Bruce Schneider was as good a general. I mean, he ran a great football program. He raised the bar for the players. We had a whole different type of training that really made people were held accountable. It made us better as a team. And if you follow that Cal scenario with Bruce Schneider, I mean, we went from what, 5-5-1 and into the, I guess, 9-2 with the, Pulowski was a quarterback, right? Mike Pulowski. They're playing Clemson, right? I mean, that's a huge jump in such a short period of time. And of course, I mean, I probably was a little bit upset that the athletic department didn't want to negotiate a higher contract for Bruce Schneider. And then the whole staff left, went to Arizona State, and had a good run down there. But for Cal, I think it's a great traditional school in terms of academics and athletics. Some of the best teams and players have come out of there. I mean, think about all the Cal individual players that come out of Cal that go play in the NFL or go play in some other sport. I mean, it's amazing that happens. And it's such a beautiful area. And the education there is par none, right? I mean, there's no other educational facility in the United States like Cal.
Gotcha. Okay, guys, we're going to cut to our last commercial break. This has been an awesome edumacation for us there. Now, do we appreciate that? Like I said, I only had 6 years of high school, so I can't talk good. Okay, here we go. Here's our third trivia question. Name three hockey teams that don't end in the letter S. I rarely have a hockey question, so of course it's got to be something like this, right? Sure. Name three hockey teams that don't end in the letter S. Right, that's our trivia question. Let's see if our panel can answer that. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be coming right back with some closing comments and our thoughts for the day.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home.
we provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738. How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-514-0521. 800-514-0521. That's 800-514-0521.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowd, our special guest, Natu Tua Tagovailoa. All right, trivia question number three. Name three hockey teams that don't end in the letter S.
Right, I can name the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Tampa Bay Lightning. One. Yep.
Crickets.
No. Panthers? No, crickets ends with S. And then
Avalanche? Is it the Avalanche?
The Avalanche. Oh, the two. Avalanche. Yes. Good. Who's the last one?
What about the? Hold on. What are they called? The new Seattle team?
The Kraken.
The Kraken.
Yeah, the Kraken. That doesn't have an S on it.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? This is a question. A good point. Okay, name a fourth one then, because this question was a little older than that. But I will give you credit for that. Very
My
good.
My son's favorite team is the Kraken.
Of course, just because of the name.
Of course,
Okay, the last one is the Minnesota Wild.
Wild. Oh, gosh.
Okay. I'm very proud of my boys. You did well today. All right, Natu, are you ready for our thoughts for the day? Here we go.
Don't say yes.
I know. See, Russell doesn't show his face because he doesn't like me to see his face grimace when I give my thoughts.
Yes, these terrible jokes.
Well, these aren't too bad. Okay, so I never make the same mistake twice. I make it three or four times just to be sure. And Pablo Picasso said, "I'd like to live like a poor man, only with lots of money." That was pretty good. All right, Natu, thank you again for joining us on Sports Econ 101. And audience, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more sports trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
See you.
So long. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.